Thank you, Jocelyn, for that reading. You might have noticed something different on your chair this morning or the chair next to you, these pieces of paper. So I want you to have a quick look at it now and just take a quick squiz. And then we're going to be focusing on this at the end of this time. But yeah, if you're wondering what that is, it's not there just by chance. It's all part of it this morning. So as you've heard, we're starting our Easter series, Grief to Joy, today. And you're probably thinking, is it really coming up to Easter? It feels like it's only February or January. That's my tablet telling me something went wrong. Hopefully that's not what it's thinking about my message. But yeah, you might be thinking, wow, it's too early for Easter. I think we're probably all thinking that, but the time is coming. So we're starting our Grief to Joy series today. And then in the next 6 weeks, we're going to be unpacking this theme, the twists and turns that the disciples and Jesus go through in the lead up to Jesus' death and resurrection. But also we're going to go, our Easter series is going to go a bit beyond Easter this year, because Easter doesn't just stop all the themes of Easter, and the onflow of Jesus' death and resurrection doesn't just stop at Easter. Amen to that, right? We get to live in that. So Jocelyn's read our passage beautifully this morning, and we're going to be looking at Jesus predicting his death and sort of the teaching that follows on from that, which is sort of can be encapsulated as sort of like tools for discipleship, or the theme of discipleship. So we see in this passage in Matthew that Jesus has predicted his death to the disciples, and the news was a massive shock to them. It's like bombshell moment, right? They're following him, they're walking in his ways, or trying to walk in his ways, journeying with him over these years, and then he gives them that news. And they just wouldn't understand it. They just didn't get it. It didn't fit with their picture of what they wanted Jesus to do and to be for their people. It would have been a massive shock for them. But just before this passage, again in chapter 16, you might want to have a look, from verse 13, Jesus asked who the disciples, who they thought he was. And Peter declares in this earlier part that he is the Messiah, which is huge. So in their minds, they would have thought the Messiah was meant to come, gain back the power from the Romans who were ruling over their area, and restore the kingdom to the Jewish people. And so they would have had that concept in their mind as Jesus was talking about this. But we see in verse 33 that Jesus gives us really strong rebuke to Peter about his reaction. Get behind me, Satan, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Yikes. That's a pretty big telling off, or what, right? It would have been like, whew. But what Jesus is saying here is key to living as a disciple. It's not to think of how they wanted things to go, or how they wanted things to look, and also in our time, not how we want things to look, but to think of the kingdom of God, that sort of wider God's story for the world and for us. Because Jesus, right at the beginning of his ministry, as some of us will have read, many of us will have read, that he gets tempted in the desert, right? Just after he's baptized by John, he goes into the desert and he's tempted by Satan. And Satan is sort of trying to work out and trying to push him and prod him about what kind of Messiah he would be, trying to tempt him to avoid the cross, not to think of the kingdom of God. And so this context comes in, because that's why Jesus rebukes Peter in this moment, because it's that same kind of thing, not thinking in that kind of kingdom of God sphere. So Jesus follows that bombshell moment, that's what I'm going to call it, because it absolutely would have been for those disciples. He follows that moment and he flows into sort of talking about what it is to follow him, what it means to be his disciple. So they would have been there scraping their jaws off the dust, off the ground, after that massive moment, finding out that Jesus is going to die and rise again, which also would have been crazy news to them. He follows it with this teaching on discipleship. And we see three times in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus predicts his death. And each time the disciples don't get it, which is fair enough. I don't think I would have got it if I was there either. Pretty a pretty big thing to comprehend. But every time he predicts his death, he follows it up with what it is to follow Christ, this kind of idea of discipleship, this path of discipleship. So because it's so repetitive, we know that it's not by chance, right? God repeats things, Jesus repeats things, things are repeated in the Word because he really wants us to get it. He really wants us to dig into it. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And the theme or the sort of question that we'll sort of be looking at a little bit this morning is what it is to be a disciple or to continue being a disciple of Jesus, all that theme of discipleship. And really, Jesus comes into this sort of part in verse 24 where he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." I really liked how the Message paraphrase puts it like. It says, "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how." And I think that's a really great visual. God's in the driver's seat of our life, and we're the passenger. We're fully engaged, and we're along for the ride, but God's the one with his hands on the wheel, steering us on the right path. So let's look a little deeper with that image in mind about God at the wheel. Let's look a little bit deeper at these sort of three ideas, three themes that Jesus mentions in this passage about being a disciple. And the first one is about denying yourself. Deny yourself. So Lent, most of us will know what Lent is, the 40 days that lead up to Easter. Lent, I think, is a really great reminder on a small scale of what denying self is. Is anyone observing Lent here? Not many hands? Okay, that's all good. Couple of hands. But people give up things, right? It's sort of a denying of self. People give up things like, I know chocolate's a big one, or social media, there's quite a few things like that. Sort of small comforts are given up. And when you would normally do that thing or eat that thing, you focus on Jesus, or you spend time on God, and it's sort of like a specific focus and more focus on your relationship with God leading up to Easter, which is really cool. So it's a sort of small-scale denying self. And denying self, as Jesus talks about it, it's not self-punishment. It's not meant to be self-punishment, but the giving up of our self-rule, being our own master to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. I think it takes a lot of humility to live in a way where we know we're not the ones that control everything. It's pretty hard, eh, as a human. We always like to be in control of things. And to trust Jesus that he'll lead us on the right path for us. It's a real act of obedience, isn't it? Doing what Jesus has asked of us, his followers. And I think it's really countercultural too, right? So all around us, we are used to hearing and seeing maybe advertising, people talking about stuff saying, you do you. I don't know if people say that anymore, but you do you, do what makes you happy, be the master of your own life, or you take over your own life, you be in control. But it's really the opposite of what Jesus is saying here. Hey, we're kind of surrounded by be the master of your own life, do what you want, do what makes you happy. But sort of it's flipping, that's this morning what Jesus is saying is flipping that on its head. We could struggle and feel pulled in two kind of directions if we try and live like that. If we try and live for ourselves and live like, I'll just do whatever makes me happy and I'll just do this because I can control everything, we'll be kind of pushed and pulled and we won't be able to really follow the will of God, right? We won't have that focus because we're holding on to what we want for ourselves, say. We're holding on to what we're wanting to do, the plans that we have. And so I think when Jesus was talking about this, it was really intentional. Of course, Jesus is always intentional. But it's really intentional that I think that this is the first step, is denying self, the putting down of our own will in order to make room or in order to pick up the will of God for us. And then that kind of brings us into the next idea or the next picture that Jesus had about taking up your cross. So deny yourself and take up your cross. And I read in a commentary this week, it said, to take up your cross doesn't always mean hardship or difficulty. It can sometimes, but it doesn't always mean that, like Jesus rode to the cross in death. But what it means for us is the metaphor of dying to self, that metaphor of the cross, to take up your cross, to step into the will of God, the pathway he has for you. And as we know, as followers, that the cross, Jesus' death and resurrection, and all that the cross represents, was the will of God for Jesus. Hey, and we know that from reading the Gospels, and we see in the garden that he wants to hand it back, but God says no, and he knows that that's what he has to fulfill, and I'm going to say thank God that he did. Amen. So the cross, was the will of God for Jesus, to die and rise again, to create the path of reconciliation for creation back to God. So that was the Father's purpose for Jesus. But for us, we have denied ourselves, put aside the plans we have for us, then we have that space, we have that ability to take up our cross, to pick up what God specifically has for us, his plans for our lives, his will for our lives. And what it looked like will be different for each of us, because we're all unique, hey? We all have different skills and talents, and that's an awesome thing. We have different connections. We know different people. We have different spheres of influence in our work, and our friendships, and how we connect with people in the community. But God has a plan for each of us, that as his followers, he wants us to step wholeheartedly into. Like Jesus took on the cross, that the will of God for him, God is asking us to step into his will for us. He needs us to take up his plans because we are part of the kingdom of God. We are part of serving the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God in this time to reflect his light in a world that's pretty dark and pretty full of struggle and hardship right now. Hey, we need to reflect God's light as part of his path for us. And it sounds pretty full on, right? That metaphor to take up your cross. And the disciples would have understood that. They would have understood exactly what he's saying. And I think we do today too. Because to carry your cross meant that you would be crucified, that it was the harshest form or one of the harshest forms of punishment that Romans inflicted in those days. And so Jesus is really trying to get the message that it's vital that we step into what the plans God has for us. Jesus is asking us to deny self, and we've looked at that a little bit this morning, and he's asking us to take up our cross, his plans for us, whatever that may look like. Take up our cross and to follow him. Follow me, he says. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That last part of this sort of three-part discipleship idea. And I was listening to a podcast. I like listening to a few podcasts, and I was listening to a podcast the other week, and it had this really funny story, or I thought it was funny, story about Steve Hansen and Ian Foster, two previous All Black coaches. Most of us know who they are, right? Heard of them before? Yeah. So they are both currently coaching in Japan at a team called Toyota Verblitz. So it's a team in Japan, top tier team in Japan. And at the start, they lived together when they moved there. And Ian Foster is the person that was on this podcast. And he was telling the story about how they went shopping at IKEA for furniture for their apartment. And you may know where this is going. Because many of you know that IKEA uses flat pack furniture, right? And it's notoriously hard to put together. And they say this: they say that if you can get through putting flat-pack furniture together, you can get through anything. It's like a test of the relationship. So Ian Foster said they were useless, like absolutely useless at putting this furniture together. And it created a bit of a squabble or a bit of a moment between the two of them. And I think it's really funny to picture these two great All Blacks coaches like not being able to put together IKEA furniture. But can anyone this morning guess why it didn't really work out for them putting this furniture together? 2 liters, yep. two leaders, neither of them wanted to follow the other's instructions. They both wanted to be the top dog putting the furniture together. I reckon that's pretty funny, hey, this idea of these two great All Blacks coaches, and they're both kind of maybe bickering or kind of trying to tell each other what to do because neither of them wanted to be the follower. They both wanted to be in charge. To be a disciple is to follow Jesus. We're the apprentice, right? We're like the junior worker and he is the master teacher. And if we are to follow, it sounds really simple. And when I'm saying it now, it sounds like, duh, Rochelle, come on. But if we are to follow, it means we can't lead. There can't be two masters, us and Jesus. And I think that can be really hard sometimes. Hey, let's be honest about it. It can be really hard. I know I struggle with it. I'm sure most of us struggle with it. It is really hard to follow and not be leading or to try and be in control. But that's what Jesus calls us to do, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow me, to follow him. Jesus is our example of how to live a life following the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God values, and we are to follow his example. He says it very clearly in his word, doesn't he? He shows his disciples back then by his actions, so they saw him doing these things out and about in lots of different situations. But he even kind of laid it out like a manifesto, I guess, in his Sermon on the Mount, which we can find in Matthew 5 to 7. He showed the example and he even talked of the example to follow. And it makes sense, I think, that we must first deny ourselves so that we have put aside our plans, that we can take up our cross to pick up the plans he has for us. Because if we haven't done those first, if we sort of did them in another order, we'd not really be in a place to follow, right? We'd still be trying to do our own thing and would probably really, really struggle, I think, with the ability to be a follower if we haven't first denied ourselves and taken up what God has for us, to learn from the master and to follow in his footsteps as he asks of us. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I've got another sports illustration, friends. It's quite sports heavy today, but we're going to go for it. So Novak Djokovic is the tennis goat, right? Actually, there might be some people that might not agree with that. Fair enough. He's one of the tennis goats. I'm going to say one of the tennis goats. I'm actually partial to Roger Federer, but he's had his time. But when we look at some statistics, okay? When we look at some statistics, he's won 24 majors, the most of any male. I refer to male. He holds the record for the most weeks ever ranked at number one. He even won, and I think this blows my mind, he even won the gold medal match at the Paris Olympics last year. Oh, 2 years ago, at the age of 37. Anyone at 37 winning a gold medal match at the Olympics? Any takers here? Nah, it's crazy, eh? That's amazing. Like, that is talent. But he writes in this book that in 2010, he kind of got to like a stalemate at a hard point. He had to completely rethink his health and his training requirements. He was having troubles in his matches. He felt like his body was failing him when he was playing. Something needed to change. So through learning, and I think with his coach, he changed his diet. He cut out dairy and gluten and reworked his training schedule. So he worked on multiple things. He changed his training to 14 hours a day. Flip, that's a lot. Including practice, weights, running, hiking, biking, and sometimes training at altitude. He completely worked how he was training and how he was living in order to still be at his best. And I think it's incredibly inspirational. I know we're a bit further on than 2010, but it's so inspirational, hey? He wanted to continue to be the best in top of his field, so he went to massive measures of denying himself, losing parts of his old lifestyle in order to live well and succeed. And that's pretty huge, right? It's a lot of changes, and that's a real testament to his craft, that he went to those lengths to still be the best, I reckon. And good news, guys, Jesus is not asking us to cut out dairy or gluten out of our diet. Maybe he is, depending on your dietary requirements, but I'm not saying that as a blanket rule. He's not asking us to cut out dairy or gluten out of our diet or to train for 14 hours a day, but he is asking us to lose our lives for him, for our focus to be on his kingdom and his values, to live our lives not for ourselves, but what we think we want or need, but for his purpose, to say no to self, to say no to us, and yes to him. If we want to live for ourselves and our own motives, we will lose our lives. That's basically what he says in the word, hey. We will not kind of fully live in the kingdom of God values that Jesus is asking of us now and when it will be fully realized in eternity. So it's kind of got here and then future consequences. But if, as Jesus recommends, we will lose our lives for him and his kingdom, we will gain. We will gain. We will truly live because it will fulfill what we were created to be, hey? Because we'll be living in our purposes that God has marked out for us. If we want to lose our life and keep living our life, but if we want to gain life, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, we will find our purpose in him now and eternity. I think that's awesome. It's sort of a hard thing, to think about because it seems so weird to lose to gain, but what a thing God is calling us to, and the example through Jesus. As we come to a time of reflection, Jesus is still looking for obedient disciples today and people that are still continue to journey, because I know most of you are and are living in that life, are obedient disciples. That continuation of that journey with Jesus and following his path. It's to deny self. We talked about that, hey. Deny self. Lay down our plans in order to obey Christ. Take up our cross to pick up the plans that Jesus has for us. And to follow me, to follow him, to hand over the wheel over to God, let him lead. And then, you know, he says, following that we gain our life and our purpose by losing it for Christ. Yeah. It's only a few verses. Hey, it's only 7 verses, but it packs so much in. We come to our sheets of paper now. And you will see on it, you've probably already looked, which is awesome. It says, deny self, take up your cross, follow me. And I thought as a reflection this morning, as we have listened, started thinking about this, I know a lot of us would have read this passage before. It's not new information, but rather a reminder. There should be a pen, alongside the paper. And I thought this morning, we're going to put some music on. And it's really sort of a time of examine, to sort of look at our lives, look at where we're at. There may be something that God is challenging us about or encouraging us about, as he does too, with his Holy Spirit, about denying self. It might be something that God is calling you to in that space, about denying self. It could be about taking up your cross, your plans, picking up and continuing to walk in the pathway of the plans and purpose that Jesus has for you. It could be about following Jesus. It could be something of encouragement that he's speaking to you about how you're so closely following him. It could be something about a challenge around that kind of thing. But we're going to put some music on. And in this time, as we think about this passage and that what Jesus was saying to his disciples then, and us as his disciples now, there may be something that's you've been challenged about or encouraged about. You might want to take time just to pop it down on this paper today, and then we'll come back together shortly. God bless you all.